Welcome to the Pain-Free Living podcast. It's my turn. This is my debut opening, so please forgive me, everyone. I'm here with Bob Allen, and today this is episode 3 of season 2.
You know.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And we're actually going to talk about what happens when you come and see either of us. What is a session like? What to expect? So, Bob, what happens when someone comes to see you?
Claire. Right, when somebody comes to see me, they open a door, they walk through it, they close the door. Well, a lot of the time I close the door because I just forget. The process is very structured, and my take on it is I want people to tell me their story. So my appointments tend to be longer than average because I want to understand who that person is and why they've walked through my door. So I get some basic contact details that we then talk about why they have come to see me. Yes, it's because they're in pain, but there's always an underlying story behind that. It's very rare that, yeah, I've come in to see you because my ankle hurts. Sometimes it is. The ones that have been in pain for a long time, they tend to have more of a story to tell. So it's not, I don't want to say digging into that story, because it's not like the Spanish Inquisition where I then pin them to the floor and say, tell me why you're here. But it's more about conversation and seeing where it goes. So it'll be, why are you here? That's always my first question. And sometimes they say it's because my leg hurts, and sometimes they will give a little bit more. So it's taking what we call a case history. So we'll understand why they're here, what their main problem is. We'll then take a case history. So it'll be a bit about previous injuries, what medication they're on, whether they've had any previous treatment or not. We'll then just do like a general system check. So we'll talk about breathing. Do they get chest pain? Do they have any stomach issues? So we'll do all of that. Do they get headaches? Kind of like the neuro side of things. And then, do they exercise? Have you had any operations in the past? Any scans? That can take up to 20, 25 minutes if it's a long, complex case, which sometimes they are. But I like to give them space to do that. And then we go on to a physical examination, which is them either standing or lying, depending on how much pain they're in, get them to do certain movements, seeing if those movements trigger the pain that they've come in with, and we then go from there. I then have a few what we call differential diagnoses. So, if it's back pain, is it sciatic nerve irritation? Is it herniated disc? Is it just a disc irritation? Is it piriformis? I just go through a list of potentials to narrow it down, because the key thing about osteopathy is you need to have a good understanding of what's going on before you start to treat. And this is one of the reasons why the 5 best exercises for getting rid of your back pain on YouTube generally doesn't work. It works for some people, but every case of back pain is different. Every case of back pain is different. There are certain things that will work generally, but there's a lot that don't. One of the things that I have to be very mindful of is that when people are no longer in pain from a particular injury that happened 20 years ago, they don't talk about it. And I have had one client, we've gone through the case history, we've been talking about what's going on, what hurts, what doesn't, that sort of thing. Building the picture, building the story. So we did that. Any operations, any scans, any x-rays? No. So he took his shirt off, massive scar down the center of his chest because he'd had a heart operation a few years ago, wasn't causing a problem now, didn't even think to mention it. So we have to be very careful about that. That was a nice, easy one because that was obvious. But, times in conversation where we're just talking and they will say something and you go, oh, hang on a minute. So, right. So you have had a knee replacement, or because if it's not causing pain, people just don't think to mention it, and they don't think we need to know. But actually, we need to know everything, because the more we know, the more we can work out, oh, okay, that pain you had. There's somebody quite recently, they were getting hip pain, a lot of hip pain. They'd had a fall 9 months ago, and they didn't say, and that had kind of recovered. It's still a bit achy, but that kind of recovered. But they were getting quite severe pain from the hip. So we went through that, and okay. So then once I knew that they had a fall, and once I knew that their actually caused quite a lot of damage to the hip, which they'd not remembered because it was less of a problem. So we started treating the hip, and that was what we needed to do to resolve what the issues were. So we have to be very careful about getting as complete a picture as we can. And what about you, Claire? What about yourself? What happens if I come to see you? What would you do?
Well, first of all, you wouldn't come to see me. You'd log on.
Okay.
Most of my clients I see online, which when I first started doing this, I was a bit sceptical about that. But because my training started in the pandemic, it was all online. And I do have some face-to-face clients, but actually I think I'm being really surprised at how well online works.
Yeah.
And you can get a really good feeling for somebody, just even through a screen. So the first thing would be that someone would sign on. And the other reason I do online, or I find it works really well, is the individual can curate their own space. So bearing in mind our conversations are confidential,
yeah,
they can make themselves a cup of tea. They can, you know, get themselves settled. And I tend to start with a check-in just to see how people are feeling when they're sitting there. But the first session is generally a discovery session. So this is where I'm really listening to them, trying to get, like you say, the background as to why, the story, if you like, without getting too involved in the story, but gleaning the language and understanding what, really listening to what they're saying.
Yeah.
So that then I can decide and effectively signpost them. So either it's something that I feel confident dealing with, or it's something that actually either it might be that I think their GP, they need to go and see their GP,
yeah,
or it could be that I feel that actually something going on in the background, which is much bigger and it's overshadowing everything. And without that being dealt with, any work that I would do would come to nothing really. So that's where I would refer them to a network where I've got a psychotherapist and a psychiatrist or counselling, whichever I feel is more appropriate. But if I feel I'm sort of in the right place to deal with them, also that session is where I explain how I work. So one of the big things about a coaching session, which is very similar to a therapy session, is that it's a professionally managed conversation. So it's very different to a conversation that you might have with friends or work colleagues, because we all know that when we have a conversation with friends, they know you, so they've probably got a lot of advice to give you. They know your history. They know what's going on for you. And they're probably not listening to everything that you're actually saying, because they're almost wanting to jump in with their reply and just tell you what to do. The other thing is that conversation might not be 100% confidential. Can you actually rely on that? But they're not going to go and tell anyone. Also, with me, I guess, I've been trained that there is no judgment from me.
Yeah.
And that's because I've been trained to not bring my own biases, my own, you know, we've all got stuff going on. So I'm constantly thinking in a session, is this something that's bringing something out for me, or is this the client?
Yeah.
So again, there is no judgment for me. So we're talking about a confidential, safe space where anything that's said is not repeated. There is a slight caveat to that. If I felt the person was at harm to themselves or to anybody else, then I would have to speak up on that. But it is a confidential, safe space. As I say, there is no judgment. My job is to professionally listen to that person. So it's quite often in society these days that we're not listened to.
I was gonna say this is a topic that we are going to come back to on active listening, but yeah, sorry, carry on.
So I adopt, it is known as active listening, but that's what I do. So, and it's just about the client feeling that they've been heard. And quite often that is a really good start in a relationship, is for the person, the individual, to feel, yeah, I feel that I've been listened to, probably first time in a long time. And it's about building that rapport. And it's about building that relationship. And then it's about inviting the person to bring whatever it is that's bothering them. And I never know from session to session what someone's going to bring. So I liken it a bit like I'm a boring dancer, and I liken it to that. I just don't know what's going to happen on the floor. So I've got to be prepared for whatever they bring. And I've learned that actually me preparing for hours beforehand for a session just doesn't work. So what I do is after the session, yeah, I make sure that I do a proper follow-up. I send through an email. I summarize everything. But then again, it depends on who I'm dealing with. So I'm a neurodiverse inclusive coach. So if a person will just not deal with a long email, then we'll find another way to communicate that so that they got that information. So that is really a session. So there's nothing to do with the couch. There is no couch, unless the person's tight, got one and, you know, lounging on it while they're talking to me on screen. But no, it's very much, it's a curated, professionally managed conversation.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you talk about online coaching, because in the pandemic, when all the clinics closed down and I had to get a proper job for a while, we'll talk about that another time. But I did do a few online sessions. I went through a big battle in my head about, can I do osteopathy online, because I'm not doing hands-on and that's kind of what people expect. But actually, I'd got enough experience just having a conversation with someone and just having them face to face. And I'd occasionally get them to do a few movements just to see what had happened, you know, what things hurt and what didn't. But I did a few online appointments that worked really, really well. You know, and I think a lot of it is because there's that bank of experience in that, okay, somebody's got shoulder pain. Well, I know that there's certain movements I will get them to do. If they do that and that hurts, okay, so that's a long head of bicep tendonitis or whatever it is. But yeah, online can work really, really well. And something else I found as well is that it's something that piggybacks on what you were saying, is that people like to feel heard. Now, in the NHS and in the medical profession generally, there are some consultants that are brilliant, because I took my dad to a consultant and he's absolutely fantastic. Sometimes the consultant will talk to me and not my dad, because he's 95 and he's a little bit confused about stuff. But this guy talked to my dad, and if he needed any kind of confirmation, he talked to me. But otherwise, it was totally focused on my dad. And that's, unfortunately, that's not as common as it should be, because some consultants will just, or GPs also will just talk at people rather than engaging a conversation with them. I understand GPs have very, and consultants, very little time, very rushed. We need to get this, 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 and this done. And they will just throw everything out. The downside of that is you then get people who don't feel they've been listened to, who feel they've been dealt with rather than listened to. And if that's how they feel, they tend to respond less well to a treatment. So I know from experience that when people come to see me and I listen, and exactly what you're saying about active listening, I'll listen to understand rather than listen to respond. Because a lot of the time there's a lot of people that listen to respond without actually considering what they've just been told. So I think that is something that's really important, that people feel listened to and heard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure it's the same with you, where people are talking to me once they begin to trust me, like some very vulnerable, they're being very vulnerable with that space. And, you know, the worst thing I could do is to not listen, interrupt them, and, you know, not really respond to them and show that I'm not listening. So, I make some promises, and I make the promises that I make is that I won't interrupt them. Yeah. And that I provide a safe and confidential space.
Yeah.
And there is no judgment. So I think people, clients appreciate.
Oh, I think so, yeah. And like I said, that although we come at things from different angles, I think our approaches are very similar in that, yes, we get the story, we listen, we respond appropriately, and then we're just here to support the client.
Yeah. I think one of the things as well is I know that you give out exercise sheets and all that, you know, stuff to help. Whereas my role, again, which is why it's different from friend and family, is I'm not there to give advice.
Yeah.
My belief is that the person knows themselves the best, and they've actually got, a bit like a client I mentioned in a previous episode about walking around in a private bag of fog. Once he'd worked it out, he was good to go. And that's what I feel is that people, if they've been unlocked, if you like, then, you know, they can make their own decisions. And also that empowers them. If I was to sit there and say, I think you should do this, or da, 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 you know, they're going to walk away feeling a bit like that doctor's appointment or that consultant's appointment.
They've been done. They've been dealt with.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
So here you go. Two different approaches. Well, actually, similar approaches, totally different areas. But yeah, that's why we work. So are we done? Is that it for this episode?
I think we are. I think we've exhausted that topic.
I think we've covered pretty much everything on that one. So that's the end of episode 3.
Yeah.
If you go and see a therapy coach or an osteopath or physical therapist generally, because we all work in a very similar way, then that is how a session should take place. In the next world, we're going to talk about a few do's and don'ts. So just to give you a few pointers on, if you are going to see a therapist, to give you some ideas about good practice and not so good practice. So hope you enjoyed that one. We will see you at the next one. Bye for now.